Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep shaking.
Tonight, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room. Hopefully, all is well with everybody listening tonight and those of you who will be listening to the archive shows. We hope that all of you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I know I ate way too much turkey and stuffing myself, but it was a good time with family and friends, and hopefully it was the same for you as well. We're excited to get back into the locker room because obviously miss you guys, but it's energy, it's excitement, it's a lot of different good mojo going on with Before You Go Pro right now. Tonight is no different. We have a wonderful guest. This is somebody that to a certain extent you look at as a younger brother or somebody that you brought up through the ranks and helped achieve a dream. This is a kid that I coached in high school for 1 year at Archbishop Reardon High School in San Francisco, California. We knew at that age that he was a superstar athlete, and he's just a really good overall kid. He had the opportunity to go off and play at UCLA in the Pac-12, and he is currently an NFL hopeful. He's looking at some opportunities to get another NFL shot. He already had one shot with the Baltimore Ravens, but with some hard work and some dedication, there are plenty more teams that will take a look at this kid. So this is a good opportunity for all you young players out there to find out what being a student athlete is all about and then get a firsthand account on what it takes to really make your dreams come true. So Darius Bell is our guest, and I think we already have Darius on the line. Hey, Darius, can you hear us?
Hey, Coach, how you doing? I can hear you fine.
Good, good, man. We're excited to have you on, and I was just telling the audience about some of your accomplishments, but from me to you, man, just super proud to witness all the things that you've done and the things that you'll do in the future. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. That means a lot.
No problem. So, hey, we don't have much time, and I want the kids to get a chance to learn from you and kind of pick your brain. So I want to get right to it. For those that don't know you, where you're originally from, can you tell the audience where you grew up?
I grew up in Santa Rosa, about 45 minutes south of San Francisco, small little town. A brother, sister, you know, happy family.
Definitely. And growing up in the Bay Area, obviously, back when you were growing up, the 49ers were good and football was humming with all of the young kids. Did you feel any pressure to play football growing up?
I wouldn't say pressure. We had rules in our family. We had to stay active. We had to play at least three sports. So football, you know, was just a sport that fell into my lap. No pressure for family, just pressure to be involved in sports and stay off the street.
And your father played football as well, right?
Played basketball. I actually played basketball for the New York Knicks.
Basketball, definitely.
Yes, sir.
So talk to me a little bit, Darius, about how you actually got involved with football. Was it your dad pulling you aside or a family friend? Who was the first one to get you on the gridiron?
Definitely my father. You know, he was always, you know, wanted us to play multiple sports, like I said. And I like basketball, you know, because my father played in the NBA. But, you know, football was just always very interesting to me because my uncle, Jesse Cipolla, had played for the Niners, like you said, during those golden era years, during the Super Bowl years. And for me to grow up in a family and look up to, you know, Jesse Cipolla, who was starting center on one of the greatest teams ever, it wasn't pressure. It was just, you know, I saw an opportunity and I was like, you know, why can't that be me?
Definitely. And did you feel a love for football right away or did it take some time to grow on?
Definitely took some time. You know, I thought I was going to be a Division I basketball player for a very long time until I realized that I wasn't going to grow past 5'11", and that wasn't going to work out probably. So, you know, I'd say around my sophomore year of high school, I found out that, you know, I really fell in love with football in the game and just the fact that it's the ultimate team sport and there's nothing like that.
And when you decided to go to high school, for the audience, which high school did you end up deciding to go to?
Out of high school, I went to Sir Francis Drake in Marin County for better opportunities, you know, education-wise and football-wise. And then going into junior year is when I transferred to San Francisco and Archbishop Reuter.
And that's where I kind of had my first account with you. You were actually on a team with my younger brother your junior and senior year. Tell us a little bit about the decision to transfer from Drake to Reardon High School, and did you feel like it was the right decision at the time?
To be honest with you, I didn't feel like it was the right decision because I was young, and you know, I thought you know with other motives than just, you know, education and football. I was going to a team that hadn't won many games in their league. I was leaving my friends, you know. It didn't make sense at the time, but, you know, as you grow and as you get older, you get thankful for things like, you know, my parents sacrificing to take me to school at a private school in San Francisco every day. You take those things for granted until you get older and realize that it means, you know, so much.
Do you feel like, Darius, where a kid decides to go to high school can affect his college opportunities?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's, you know, a big part of the reason why I went to Reardon in San Francisco. You know, the Chronicle is sold, you know, nationwide, New York, you know, everywhere you can get the San Francisco Chronicle. And the publicity that you can get going to school in San Francisco and going to a private school is so much more than that I could have received at a public school like Sir Francis Drake. So it was definitely, you know, a good decision for me and my family.
When you were coming up in high school from day one, your freshman year, at Drake and as you transferred to Reardon High School, was college something that was always on your radar?
Oh, college has been on my radar since I learned how to talk. My dad has always told me from a very, very young age, son, you're going to have to work hard to get where you want in life. And, you know, I don't have enough money to put you through school. So you're going to have to find ways, whether it's education, whether it's, you know, picking up a football, picking up a basketball, you're going to have to find ways to make it happen for yourself. And so I've always been very motivated to, you know, do that for myself because I'd like to be educated. And I know, you know, being educated and having a diploma from a four-year university goes very far in the world these days.
And you've always, and I can attest to having a great work ethic as far as on the field and off the field. Do you feel like that was something that you were born with or that your father and mother inspired in you? Or where did you get that great work ethic from?
You know, I'd have to say it's a mix between my brother and my father because my father gave it to my brother, the work ethic, and he definitely passed it down to me. Growing up, I was really a lot more athletically gifted than a lot of kids, so things came naturally to me. And my father always told me, he said, son, you know, the older you get, the more that these people are going to catch up to you and the more hard work stands out from just natural ability. And, you know, going into my freshman year, you know, seeing my brother do what he had done, you know, going from not ranked and, you know, a freshman on JV to being the best running back in the country or second best running back in the country, I knew it was just a testament to hard work. And I knew that if I did that and put forth that effort, you know, the sky was the limit.
Did your brother's football success inspire you throughout your career?
Oh, definitely. I mean, little conversations, little competitions. I mean, we always grew up in a competitive family. You know, the goal is always to make it to the top. He's been there. He's done that. You know, he gives me some stuff for it, you know, that I haven't been there and got on his level. But it's all, you know, it's all good family competition and drive me. It drives me to work harder, drives me to, you know, look at plays more and, you know, do my film study more and just become a better all-around player.
And as you know, Darius, that the academic piece for young athletes today is such a huge piece. It can make or break your career, you know, and keep you on the field. You were somebody that was always able to do good academically, but did school come hard to you? Was it something that you had to work for, or was school pretty easy for you?
You know, I'd have to say a little bit of both. Maybe I made it hard. You know, school wasn't, you know, exactly the most challenging thing in the world, but what was challenging was just, you know, time management and actually putting the effort in. I mean, when you go to a college prep school like Archbishop Reardon, you're getting, you know, a college load. You're getting a book course from college. You're not getting a typical, you know, three classes a week of, you know, English or whatnot. You're getting 4 hours a day in one class. You know, homework assignments every week, you know, essays every week, and it just really prepares you, you know.
And you obviously, at least for the school of Reardon, you made the right decision, and it looks like you did for yourself. You ended up winning a section championship your senior year, the first in school history, and also became an all-state player. What did you take away from that senior year, that great senior year you had in that championship team? Was there anything specific that you really remember about that season?
Oh, man, it was just a magical season. You know, for Reardon to go from where it had been to where we had gotten was special, and to do it with a group of guys who had never quit. You know, like I said, I was only there 2 years. But, you know, most of those guys, like your brother included, you know, they didn't have a very successful career their first 2 years at Reardon, even, you know, maybe even our first year at Reardon. But to see these guys stick through it, you know, as a team, as a family, as brothers, and, you know, persevere through all the you know, ups and downs, that's what's special, and that's what's special about football.
And once again, an amazing year that year, but unfortunately, a lot of schools overlooked you at quarterback because of your height, like you mentioned before, being about 5'11". Did you have a chip on your shoulder coming up in your career because you felt like maybe people overlooked you?
Oh, I've had a chip on my shoulder since middle school. I played on the team in Pop Warner. You know, I played on a team in Pop Warner where I played running back because the coach's son was the quarterback, and I didn't even play quarterback until I was a freshman in high school. And it always made me so mad because I didn't want to play running back because my brother had played running back, so I wanted to do my own thing, you know, so I always wanted to play quarterback. And, you know, from that day forth when I decided that that's what I wanted to do, you know, everyone just told me I couldn't do it. You know, you never played in Pop Warner, you're 5'11", you know, you're not accurate, you're not this, you're not that. But, you know, at the end of the day, my dad told me a long time ago, a football player is a football player. Size, height, speed, none of that matters if you know how to play the game.
No, great point, great point. And for all you kids out there listening, that is definitely the truth. If you know how to play the game, you find a way to make plays. Now, talk to me a little bit about the decision to stick with quarterback going into college, because obviously, you were a great high school quarterback. You were a great high school football player and athlete. You played on both sides of the ball, and I know you had some big-time scholarship offers to play other positions. Do you feel like people thought you were a little bit crazy for sticking so hard to your guns with quarterback, or were you supported in that decision?
It was a little bit of both. It was support because, you know, my family and friends knew that at the end of the day, it's whatever I wanted, you know, was going to make me satisfied in life. But there's also a little confusion, you know, within the family on to why I didn't do things that they thought would, you know, make me excel in the future. I mean, I had offer for running back, fullback, safety, quarterback, and I had offers for a lot of positions. And a lot of people thought quarterback was the position that, you know, I was the worst at out of all of them. And like you said, that chip on my shoulder is what I wanted to do. I wanted to prove everybody wrong. And, you know, I had the support, but I also had, like you said, a little bit of what is he doing. But at the end of the day, family always supports me.
And you ended up signing, I believe, with Montana State, but then transferring to San Francisco Junior College and really kicking off your college quarterbacking career. What was the reasoning behind going back to San Francisco City?
You know, I just worked so hard my whole life, and I always wanted to, you know, walk onto a field with those 80,000 people, you know, screaming and hollering and having fun. And, you know, the first spring game at Montana State, and, you know, I looked up in the stands, and there was about 8,000 people in a, you know, 15,000 people, you know, arena. And no disrespect, but I just felt like, you know, I could do better. I felt like I put too much work in my life, you know, to settle for Division I AA when I felt like, you know, I was a Division I quarterback. And if I had to, you know, take a step back to take a couple steps forward, you know, that's some things you have to do that, or sometimes you have to do that in life. And, you know, I took that risk. I took that gamble.
And for those that are just joining on tonight, we appreciate your time. We've got a wonderful guest in the BYGP locker room, one of our own, Mr. Darius Bell. And what he's talking about, and some of you kids may need to look at this scenario, but Darius was so good at a high school that he had big-time scholarship offers to switch positions from quarterback, but he believed in his skills so much that he said, hey, I'm going to go to a 1AA school, and I'm going to play the position I want. And then when he felt like the 1AA school wasn't to his talent level and what his dream was, he went back to a junior college to eventually capitalize on his dream. So there you go. Somebody that is has a strong belief system in themselves can go far. Talk to us about once you got to San Francisco City, do you feel like you had to work for the position, or was it pretty much handed to you, the quarterback position?
I definitely had to work for it. You know, Coach Rush, Coach Hayes at City College, is, you know, it's a renowned junior college, and they get talent from literally all over the country. You know, I believe that I had the upper hand because I had met with, you know, City College a couple times, and I knew they were interested in me, and, you know, I knew their offense based off of, you know, players that I had played with, or, you know, that my brother played with, that I was friends with, that, you know, went through that system and, you know, went on to Division I schools. And, you know, I had a good relationship with Coach Hayes, but, you know, I knew he wasn't going to hand me the job. Whoever was the best man for the job and for that team was going to win that position, and I definitely had to work for it.
And you went on to have an amazing year, man. I know Coach Rush was happy to get you. You had a 9-1 record, first place in the NorCal Conference, threw for just about 2,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, rushed for over 751 yards and 11 touchdowns. So you had an amazing year and kind of shut up the critics as far as being a college quarterback. You decided to go to UCLA. What was the defining moment for that decision? What made you choose the Bruins?
You know, it was a hard decision. You know, I like I said, I went to Montana State as a junior college, and I just wanted to, you know, finally take the next step and, you know, be responsible for myself. You know, I had an option to come back to junior college because I only played 1 year. And, you know, that year the only player ranked higher than me was Cam Newton. And he was going to, of course, Auburn. And, you know, I had a decision whether I want to come back and be the number one returning player in junior college or go to UCLA and, you know, start my academic career. And I've always thought academics are so important, so much more important than the game of football, because you could take a diploma with you anywhere after the game of football. And, you know, that was definitely the key factor in me signing with UCLA, is the fact that, you know, that up-and-coming football program, but more importantly, the fact that I could do so much with the UCLA diploma when, you know, leaps and bounds with me.
So the diploma and the value of a UCLA diploma, that was something that was definitely on your mind before you even got there?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I've always known since being a little kid that football can end any day. You know, you're always a play away from never playing again. And, you know, you got to be prepared no matter what happens in life, no matter 4-year starter, 2-year starter, things, you know, high aspirations or whatnot. Sometimes it's not in your hands, and you have to be able to adjust when, you know, when the ball doesn't roll your way.
And talk to us, Darius, about once you finally got up to Pasadena and Westwood and UCLA, and you took the long road and you had to bet on yourself. Did you feel like you belonged once you got up there, or did you feel like you were a little over your head?
It was just a weird feeling, you know, going D1 from junior college. The game, of course, is faster. It's not that I didn't feel like I didn't belong, but I got a late start because I was a late signing. So, you know, going into spring camp, 3 days. And if you know anything about quarterback, which, you know, I'm sure you do, having a playbook for 3 days and going out there and running it is it's kind of, you know, a suicide. you're not going to do too well, you know what I mean? So, you know, I felt a little rushed, you know, thrown into the fire. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you get an opportunity, you just have to be ready and give it your all, no matter, you know, what the circumstances are.
Great point, great point. So you finally achieved your dream to get into a Division I-A school. Obviously, so many kids have that same dream as you. What was it that made you, what was kind of the aha moment or when you felt like you had arrived? Was it when you walked on the campus? Was it your first practice? Was it your first time running out in the Rose Bowl? When was the moment where it was like, yes, I've arrived?
The moment, I'd have to say, when I got my dorm key and I got my lunch card, that was the moment for me to be on. I mean, I stayed with 7 guys in the 2-bedroom, 6 guys in the 1-bedroom, you know, just to make it at the junior college and, you know, take stress off my parents since they had taken care of me for so long, you know, and I felt like I was becoming a grown man and, you know, having to eat Top Ramen and Little Caesars because it's $5 a day. You know, to going to having your own, you know, your own dormitory and, you know, having 3 meals a day and not having to wonder where your next meal might come from is a swing the hill home for me. And, you know, I was like, yes, you know, along with the freshman 15, you know, it's hit me.
Definitely. No, that's a good point. And I appreciate you sharing that with the kids because sometimes when you're grinding, people don't see all the behind the scenes stuff. So the Top Ramen, I've been there before too. So talk to us a little bit about you. Actually, unfortunately, you went through a coaching change at UCLA. There's many kids that are about to go through a coaching change at the college level. You look at the Nebraska kids and maybe Michigan here. Was that difficult for you? And do you think it was difficult for a lot of your teammates?
It was very difficult for me. And I'm sure it's very difficult for kids all around the country. You know, when you invest in a school, you invest in the program in itself, and you invest in the head coach, and you invest in the offensive coordinator, and they invest in you. And when that doesn't work out, you know, and you're bringing in someone that has no familiarity with you, that didn't recruit you, you know, may not like what skill set you bring to the table, it's just a very hard situation. You know, and unfortunately, it's hard to get out of those situations as well, scot-free with, you know, the right to be able to go ahead and play right away that next year. So it was definitely a very difficult situation. You know, you change offenses, you know, and changing schemes for me wasn't, you know, what was going to help me excel at the quarterback position. And so I knew there was going to be changes.
In your mind and just with your experience with football, do you believe college football is a business?
I wholeheartedly believe it's a business. I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, everyone knows, you know, what goes on. They know how much money they make. I mean, you know, like I used to tell people all the time, the Rose Bowl fits, you know, 95,000 people. You know, tickets on average, $18. I mean, and that's just the average. You know, that's the bare minimum. These guys are getting, you know, upwards to $1 million to $1.5 million a game. And, you know, and kids are getting, you know, I had a $2,400 scholarship check, which sounds like a lot, but when you live in L.A. and your rent's $2,000, you know, it doesn't leave you with much money for the rest of the quarter. And, you know, it wasn't money that I wanted to go party here or go get tattoos. It was just money I would like to have so I can eat and, you know, do things for myself. You know, we have linemen, you know, 400-pound guys that, you know, get the same amount of swipes as a guy like me that's 200 pounds. It just, you know, it makes no sense.
No, great point. I appreciate you sharing that. In your opinion, do you feel like college players – are ready to capitalize on the opportunities that college can present, or do you think that guys are too focused on the NFL?
You know, I hope guys are more focused on college because, you know, when you get to the NFL, you don't need what you're asking for from, you know, from the college standpoint. You know, college guys, I do think already, you know, some people take advantage of it. And, you know, like I said, that's where, you know, you have the problem is when a couple of guys, you know, make mistakes or, you know, give it a bad name. You know, there's guys out there, like I said, I don't get tattooed, but there's guys out there that go and get their, you know, their whole scholarship check on tattoos. And, you know, that's personal decision, but not everyone's doing that. Not everyone's living that type of lifestyle. Not everyone has the means to support themselves without that scholarship check.
Now, you changed your position from quarterback to wide receiver when there was the coaching change from Rick Neuheisel to the current coach, Jim Mora. Did you find it difficult, Darius, to stay upbeat and have the right attitude when you changed your position? And can you give any advice to a kid who may be looking at having to change a position?
It was very difficult. I mean, I even considered giving up football. You know, when you work so hard and your mind is, you know, so focused on one thing, when you realize that that's coming to an end, you know, it's heartbreaking, especially when you put so much work. I mean, you know, kids know, you know, getting up at 6 o'clock and working out and going to the gym at 10. You know, my dad always used to say we get up before they wake and we in the gym while they out, you know, and that's how I always felt like I got the edge. But that's a lot of work, you know, doing that for 4 years of high school, you know, in the junior college, that's so much work. And for all that work to feel like it's going down the drain, it could be heartbreaking. And, you know, you have to try to find a way to, you know, make the best of the situation. And most of all, go with what your heart tells you, because at the end of the day, it's going to be on you. It's all going to fall on you. You know, 10 years from now, it's not going to be anybody else's fault. It's all going to be, you know, the individual and how he feels and how he approaches that situation.
I love it. Love it. Love the advice, man. Now, I haven't shared everything with you about Coach Wood, but I used to be a little bit of a ladies' man back in my Colorado days, man. And I know Boulder, Colorado has nothing on Pasadena and Westwood, California. So let's talk honest since we're in the locker room. How difficult was it for you? And how difficult maybe did you see for some of your teammates to stay right socially with the ladies and stay motivated on football?
I'll say the first year or two of, you know, big-time football, you might get carried away in partying and, you know, having fun trying to meet new girls and things. But it's just it's you know, I think it's semi-natural, you know, not to get carried away, but it's semi-natural just to – you know, to experience that. I mean, you know, you're in a fishbowl now. When you get to college, all eyes are on you. And it's, you know, it's a different feeling. It's, you know, everyone knows who you are when you're walking around campus. You know, when you're winning, when you're losing, it doesn't matter. You know, you're a college football player at a big-time D1 school. They know who you are. And, you know, it's a feeling that you have to get used to. And it's definitely better you get used to that feeling rather than later. And don't let that become a distraction to you, the football team, or a detriment to anybody.
That's actually a great point, though, Darius. You talk about the fishbowl scenario. What do you feel as far as players today getting in trouble, whether it's a Ray Rice situation or, you know, the kids in Notre Dame that were messing up academically? Why do you feel like so many kids kind of shoot themselves in the foot off the field?
I wish I could tell you, Coach. You know, I honestly don't know if people just know the magnitude of what it means to be a Division I football player or an NFL player. You know, most guys think they're normal. You know, most guys think they could do, you know, things they want to do and, you know, that it has no repercussions. But when you're put in a position of power and you're put in a position of stardom like you are on a football team, you know, you have higher standards and higher expectations. Because there's thousands of kids looking at you, there's thousands of people looking at you, and it's just part of the business. And if you're not willing to get on boat with that part of the business, you know, it just gives a bad name to football, it gives a bad name to the game, you know, and players itself.
No, that is a fabulous point. Very well said. And you actually had the opportunity, man, to I know not to the level that you want, and you're still pursuing your NFL dreams, but you actually had the chance to sign an NFL contract out of UCLA with the Baltimore Ravens. Can you give for our audience a little bit of what that felt like to actually write your signature and write your name on an NFL contract?
I mean, it was amazing. You know, obviously it wasn't, you know, sealed in, or signed, sealed, delivered, but just to sign an NFL contract was it was surreal, and it was, you know, it felt like all the work you put towards your whole life, you know, it's finally, you know, coming to a, you know, not a conclusion, not an end, but we're just, you know, coming to fruition. And It's just a great feeling. I mean, it's hard to put into words, you know, how to describe that feeling.
Definitely. And you're, as we've talked about before, your brother, special shout out to Khalil Bell, UCLA Bruins superstar, and then and obviously Bay Area superstar, and then six-year NFL career, primarily with the Chicago Bears. Did your brother give you any good advice during that time when you were trying to crack into the NFL?
He gave me a lot of good advice, honestly. I mean, my brother had a up and down career in the NFL. You know, his first carry set an NFL record, 72 yards. He has a 5.6 yards per carry for his career right now through 6 years. But sometimes, like I said, the ball just doesn't bounce your way. And you know, in football, not only in college but at the next level, it's a business. And you know, people are making business decisions day in, day out. Based on popularity, based on, you know, scouting reports and, you know, who these guys are thinking is the best and who's not. So I'd say the advice that he gave me that was great was, you know, just give it your all, because it's really not in your hands. You have no control. The only thing you have control over is your effort and attitude.
Effort and attitude. I love it. So let's leave off tonight. And once again, man, we appreciate the time. I know you got a million things on your plate, but I know these kids are getting a lot out of it. Let's leave off tonight with, what advice would Darius Bell now, going through all the things you've been through with football, the highs and lows, what advice would you give to a young 18, 19-year-old Darius Bell walking on to UCLA campus for the very first time?
You know, if I could take anything, you know, or go back in time and tell myself anything, the first would be learn to bite the bullet sometimes. You know, you do not have as much power as you think you do. You know, it's not ever in your hands, it's not ever in your court. And when you take action and think it is, it can become a problem. So definitely number one, I'd, you know, go back and just tell myself sometimes you're going to have to bite the bullet. And, you know, number two, I just wish I was a little more level-headed in high school. You know, not that I was super cocky or that I was super arrogant, but, you know, I definitely walked around, you know, with my head up a little high. And it's not, you know, like I said, it's not something that's too bad. But as I matured, I just realized, you know, I wish I was more level-headed in high school. You know, I wish I was just, you know, more complete, better person, because the thing you realize through football is that you can impact so many people. In so many lives, and you know, I never took a chance to do that in high school, or you know, my first, you know, couple college years, because I thought I was bigger than the game itself. And you know, sometimes you got to put into perspective that you aren't as big as the game, and you know, the people that really matter are the people that, you know, watch you, support you, and love watching you do what you do.
Well said, young man. Well, hey, I'm one of those people that love watching you do what you do, and hell of a player, still a hell of a player. Everybody, if you didn't get to see Darius Bell play, you will soon on a professional field near you, or you may even see him in a coaching capacity because he has a great mind for the game. But we appreciate your time, D. Bell, and love you to death, man, and you keep plugging away, okay?
Sounds good, Coach. Thank you. Love you too, man.
All right. Talk to you later. So there you guys have it. That is Mr. Darius Bell, one of our BYGP own. This is somebody that was a phenomenal quarterback, very well. Could have been, you know, a Drew Brees-type player, but unfortunately the cards didn't fall his way at quarterback. He was a good enough athlete to not only play at UCLA at wide receiver, but also get an NFL opportunity with the Baltimore Ravens at wide receiver as well. And I'm sure somebody will be picking him up soon. So we will appreciate the time that Mr. Bell spent with us. Hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. We got another amazing show coming your way on Thursday in the BYGP locker room. We're all about providing thought-provoking content that is going to help you guys out along your football journey. And Thursday night, we're bringing back Mr. Evan Brennan. We didn't get him last time because of the technical difficulties, but he's an NFL player rep. He's an agent, and he's going to tell us about that side of the business. for you kids out there, you juniors, you seniors that are on the late train, need to take the SAT or ACT. You guys got to get on it. There's some test dates coming up. For the SAT, they have a January SAT date. The registration deadline is December 29th. So that's the next one up. If you haven't already signed up for a test, there is a January 24th SAT test. The sign-up date is December 29th. When we talk an ACT, let's see here. There is a February 7th ACT date, and the deadline to sign up for that is January 9th. I know some of you guys are already signed up for tests, and that's great, but these are the next upcoming if you haven't signed up already. So once again, ACT, the next sign-up date, the next test date, February 7th, and the registration deadline is January 9th. The next test date, if you have not already signed up for an SAT, is January 24th, and that registration deadline is December 29th. So you guys, make sure you stay up to date with that. If you guys are not affiliated with Before You Go Pro, we are a company that works with young football players between the ages of 13 through 19, kids that are aspiring to play at some level of college football. And we come up with a whole game plan and help you guys get to your dreams and achieve your dreams. So if you have not already signed up with BYGP or you need some information, check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com, and you'll find everything you need from that standpoint. For you kids that are still in the playoffs, good luck, and we will be on the scene for the regional and state CIF championship games in California. So if you're going to those games, look out for the BYGP booth, and we would love to spend some time with you. For the rest of the Before You Go Pro team, I am Coach Terrence Wood, and that's it for tonight. We're signing off. See you at the top. Hey, 'cause girl, I like you.